You all know that there's a famous Zohar HaKadosh on this week's parasha. The Zohar HaKadosh says that it's going on the Mechama of the Yetzer Hara, the Iker Mechama that we have. And Shteita in the Pasuk Haftacha, that if a person goes to Muhammad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give it Biyadecha. The Haftacha in the Pasuk, he says to Muhammad, you go out to Muhammad against the enemy. If a person fights his Yetzirah, if a person declares war, so there's a Haftacha of the son of Hashem HaLokech Biyadecha, there's a Haftacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him over. It's a Gevalte Gezach. That means, it means stating them that all a person needs to win the battle with the Yetzer Hara is to go to battle. He said to Muhammad to go out to war. If a person goes out to fight the Yetzer Hara, then in return, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees you're gonna win the battle. I want to discuss today one aspect of the battle with the Yetzer Hara, how to fight. A battle, nobody goes to war stomp. You have to strategy, you need an army, you need generals, you have to have a plan of attack. I want to discuss one nekuda. You all know that the Rambam says that when a person wants to go do tshuva, so there's harota, ala ovar, and there's kabbalah. So the Rambam says that a person has to make azak kabbalah, that Yod Olav Yodea Talumois, that the Yodea Talumois is going to be made on you, that you're never going to go back to the Ched again. Famous Rambam, you all know the Rambam. Usually, we hear about this Rambam like a couple of hours before Yom Kippur, or a day before Yom Kippur, you hear a Shmuz, and they say that the Rambam says that Tshuva means that Yod Olav Yodea Talumois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows all the secrets, is going to testify about you, that you're never going to go back to the Ched again. But it's too late already by the time Yom Kippur comes around to get to such a darga, to get to a darga of achlota like that. So I'm mentioning it a couple of weeks earlier. What's the pshat? I want to discuss this aspect of the Muhammad. What's the pshat? We all know that every time you hear this, everybody's maskim. I'm sure I'm shearing a meshutuf tikka hargosha. Every time you hear this Rambam, you get aggravated. What does it mean that I'm going to kabbal on myself, that I'm never going to do it again, right? Never. Right? And deep down, we know that about 10 minutes after Ma'ariv on Yom Kippur, we have such a feeling of freedom. Baruch Hashem, we got rid of this pain in the neck called El and Yom Kippur and sleepiness where we have to be good and this and that. Right, though. See you later, alligator. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's it. See you next year again. So what does it mean that a person's mekabel on himself, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself knows that he's never going to come back to it? Do we have shachas to it? What does that mean, Bechal? How does a person get to such a thing? You said, I'm not going to do it again. We said, you're not going to do it again. What does that mean? There's a mechanism over here which I want to discuss, which if a person's not going to have it, then there's no hope. Rabitzel Petterberger writes in the introduction to Or Yisrael, he says the following. He says, when a person has a nisayon, Nisayonis can come in all types of situations. It can come from a taifa of gashmias. It can come from a wave of atzlos. It can come from a situation where somebody stepped on your covid, your kini, your taifa, right? At the moment that the nisayon happens, somebody stepped on your midah of kas. At the time that the nisayon itself is happening, right, to Bittel Petterberger, a person doesn't stand a chance to fight the Yetzer Hara. Onyus Rechmana Patri. You don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. When the Yetzer Hara comes in full force with you, and somebody insulted you to your face, or somebody did something wrong to you, Kivayachol, or there's episode taiva that a person has, and a person gets all heated up from any sort of taiva or midas ros that he has, it's a lost cause. There's nothing that's going to stop then that veer from happening. Anybody who thinks that he does is fooling himself, is narrowing himself up. The only way, says Itzel, for a person to fight Yetzer Hara and to fight the Muhammad Yetzer, is when you don't have the taiva and when you don't have the the Yetzer Hara, and you're not in the situation, is that a person sits down and builds himself a fortress against the Yetzer Hara. A person builds himself roots which are deep that will be able to stand even when the wind blows. I had a gewaltig emotion this week. I was talking to somebody who learned here many years ago. And he learned here. He said, I learned. He learned by his mother. He had a gishmak. And today, it's 10 years later. And he went to work. And there's nothing left of it, mamish. Mamish garnished. Mamish garnished. And he told me, oh, he's like one of Patri. That was his taina. So when we spoke about it, and we dissected why you're in the situation that you're in, so I gave him a mashal. And it's poshut by me, I'm going to say something which sounds extreme, it's poshut by me, at least by me, that because of the mashal I'm going to say, the hurricane came on New Orleans. Everything that happens in the Bria, especially things which are colossal things, which shake the entire Bria, are always a message to a person. What's the message, by the way? I'll tell you what I see as the message. So everyone's going to say the enormous kreifa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, the winds blow 250 miles an hour, etc., etc., etc. That's not the message. I'll tell you what the message is. I heard this week that the amount of damages in the last hurricane in New York was $300 billion. It's a lot of money. You can build a lot of Beis Yishayahs from that. we could use it. Yeah. It's a lot, $300 billion. It's a lot of money by any account, even for somebody like me, a Borough Parker. It's a lot of money. $300 billion, a lot of money. Yeah? So I was thinking, Ribbono Shel Olam, listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. I was thinking, how did so much damage come about? It's a lot of damage, a lot of money. How did such damage? I'll tell you what happened. I know what happened. When they were building on the Mississippi River, the levees, what are they called? What's the exact expression? Nobody here would know anyway. Levees, right? L-E-V-E-E-S. Right? It's the things that hold the water from coming in. Dams that hold the water from coming in. So when the engineering department of Louisiana built the, what do you call it, they were tight on the budget that day. And so one engineer said to the other, maybe put in another 2 inches of cement that if there'll be a hurricane, it should hold the water. He says, nah. He says, only just another truck. Bring another truck here. Boy, to drop more cement. Another inch or two can hold it. He said, no, it's $100,000. We don't have the money. And the guy went home at night, went to sleep. It was a quiet day. It was sunny. It was beautiful. He said, what hurricane? What's that called? It was a nice day. What are you wasting good tax money for? We can use it to give food for the Schwarzes in New Orleans. Shut up the guilt. That's what the guy said. So he went home. It was a nice sunny day. It was a beautiful day. They didn't put in the extra 2 inches of concrete. But, you know, the hurricane came. And because it was missing 2 inches of concrete, so the dams burst. And there's nothing left of the place. Now it's $300 billion of damages. Right? That's a lot of money. For $100,000, they could have saved the whole thing. $200,000. I'm not a concrete expert. I can't give you the exact thing. But I presume for a few $100,000, they could have poured a drop more concrete. Right? And they wouldn't have had $300 billion worth of damages. But the answer is that when they were building, if they would have been building the dams while during the hurricane, they would have poured it. But they built the dams on a sunny day. There's no hurricane. Reishis chochma yiras Hashem. Ezu chochma reis anoilad. Yerushmaim is called chochma, and chochma is the ability to see the future. Says Rebbitzel Petterberger that there's no chochma when you're not in the middle of a storm, when you're not in the middle of a hurricane, when you're not in the middle of an Yisrael to say Shalom Alein Afshim. Yir Shemayim means the ability to be able to see that tomorrow there's going to be a hurricane. It's like this. If you're a Shaita and you don't use your Yir Shemayim to see the future, you don't use your Yir Shemayim to see the Nisayinas that are coming, and you don't build dams, well, you know what happens? The hurricanes come and you get blown away and you're left with $300 billion worth of damage. So, you draw yourself up, you pick yourself up, you pay the $300 billion, and you start the whole cycle over again. Sounds familiar, right? That's us. That's what we do. We live from hurricane to hurricane. And when the sun starts to shine again and everything dries up again, we forget that there was a hurricane. We forget that the reason why there was a hurricane. We forget that the dams burst. We forget the $300 billion. And we start all over again. We say, Shalom Alein Afshim, everything's fine. Till the next time. And then the next time they say, didn't we tell you last time that, what it goes? But again, when they poured the next thing, they said it was a shot off the gelt. That's how we are. The Nekud of Yir Shemayim, says Rebbe Bitzli, says something very sharp. He said, when a person is going to come up to Shemayim, and they're going to say to you, you had Bechira. You had the ability to choose. If you chose wrong, you're going to get punished. You're going to get infinite Gehenna. Says Rebbe Bitzli, he writes this, where was your Bechira? Your Bechira wasn't that when you were in the middle of an Nisayon and a guy elbowed you or insulted you, you didn't answer back. That you're only supposed to want to patria. You're not going to get punished for that. You're not going to get punished for that. He says, that's not Bechira. He says, Rebbitzel, your Nekudas of Bechira is that you were sitting in the base manager's one day and you had a half an hour spear and you didn't use the half an hour to build a dam. You didn't use a half an hour to insert in yourself enough your Shemayim that when a guy will come and insult you a week later, a month later, a year later, it won't mean anything to you because you know what's important and what's not important. You didn't build a dam in front of the Yetzer Hara. You didn't build a levy in front of the Yetzer Hara. You didn't build inside of you any sort of serious binyan that when the day will come, will be able to stand up to the Yetzer Hara and fight it. You said to yourself, sure, when the Yetzer Hara will come, when the hurricane will come, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. That's all you did. For that, you're going to get Gehenim no end. That's where your Bechira was. Your Bechira was, did you choose to build yourself a binyan of Ruchnias that has lasting ability to stand up to all the winds that blow? Not that when the wind blew, you didn't have anything, that's your hopeless. You won't get punished for that, he says. A shocking thing, he says. He says, that's not Bechira. You don't have Bechira at that. It's like when a person is in the middle of an Nisayon, you lost your Bechira. But your Bechira was to have the brains and the ability and the vision to see that there's going to be. So the problem is that the Yetzer Hara convinces us during the good times that we're a tzaddik, you'll never get any sign again. It'll never happen. It happened already 10,000 times, and 10,000 times he failed. But we live with this fake arai. That's a lack of Yir Shemayim. Ezeu Chochem Arayas HaNeilad. The Reishis Chochem Arayas Hashem is the ability to see the future and plan for the future. And that's where a person's Nisayon is, and that's where a person's Bechira is. So if the Rambam says that these days of tshuva are days where a person has to get to a matzav where yodea talumos is going to be made, that you're not going to go back to it. So what does that mean? What can a person do to guarantee that he won't go back to the old ways? When the Nisayon comes, we're saying you don't have a chance. And you haven't done anything to do it. What do you say? You sat on afternoon in Mincha on Yom Kippur, and you realize that the time is running out, so you say to yourself, I'm never going back to it again. And then you screw up your face even more, and you say, I'm never even going back to it more. That's no meaning, Bechal. That's no meaning, Bechal. Because it has no meaning, Bechal, because there's nothing inside you. You don't have a binyan pnimi inside you, which is going to go hold up. So if we understand that the concept of that the Yedea Talumah, you know how the Yedea Talumah is? You want to know how Yedea Talumah, you know how Kutcha Brichu will know that you're serious? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will know that you're serious about tshuva, that you really don't plan to go back, is if you use the weeks of Elul to build a binyan that will stand when the winds come to blow. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Everybody wants to know, how should HaKadosh Baruch Hu know if I really mean it? I don't really mean it myself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you know that you really don't really mean it, but you're fooling yourself that you really do. Everything he knows. He's Yedea Talumah, Islam says, right? So how can we get to a darga that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will know that we mean it? So I'm making you a cheshbon. What taka is going to help us when the wind starts to blow? What taka is going to help us when the sun comes? Not that back that then when it's going to come, you're going to say to yourself, oh, you're kippah, I decided I'm not doing it. Very good. That's helpless. It's hopeless. Have a raya. We did it the last 20 Yom Kippur, Zingo. 100% success rate. 100% success rate. The only thing that's going to hold up is that a person builds in himself a binyan ruchani. A person builds in himself on a sunny day. Not b'shas ma'isa when there's any sun going on. And that's in every area. That's in every area. First of all, it starts with Musar intensively every day. This is something for your whole life. It's not only an El thing. If a person wants to be able to fight the Yetzer Hara and to be able to fight the storms, says Rebbe Tzal Petterburger, Ezu Chochem Arayas HaNeilad, Reishis Chochem Yiras Hashem, your Shemayim is based on living with a sense of building myself for the Yisrael that's coming, for the storm that's coming, and to constantly fortify. What does that mean? For example, if on a regular day, when there's no big Yisrael going on, an average day when you're in yeshiva, a person learns only enough to be Yetzer Zayin. We'll take learning for an example. Enough to be Yetzer Zayin. He never broke himself. He was never clean in attachment to learning. He came to Seder. Came one day early. Came one day late. Friday. You come when you want. You come when you don't want. Night Seder. You do Yetzirah. Everything Yetzirah. But you didn't build in yourself an attachment, a mitzias of Torah. So, when there's no hurricane and there's no storms going on, it's fine. The minute that comes a distraction, a nisoyin, a problem, which could range from having a headache to 20 years from now having erlof parnasa, you're gone. Because there's nothing there. But if a person uses out in learning the opportunity that you have when it's quiet, when it's peaceful, to build in yourself a real binyan, something which has mitzvahs. You know, whenever they build a building, the foundations take the longest. You have to drill, 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 drill. What's drilling? Drilling means breaking yourself, making it part of you. Something doesn't become part of you when it's easy. Something becomes part of you when you pour cement. Pouring cement means another hour and another blot and another chazorah and another taisus, even when you don't have a geshmak for it at the beginning. Afterwards, a person gets a geshmak for it, you get drunk from it. But it means pouring a foundation inside you of ruchnius, which is not connected to Nisayin X, Nisayin Y, pouring a foundation of Ruchnius, that there should be a mitzias of Ruchnius of Yerushalayim inside you. It applies to every area. It applies to davening, it applies to learning, it applies to Musar. How many times does a person sit down and make a list of the things that you weaken, the things that need work, and start to work on them? Not when you're in middle, a guy who has a mid of kas, for example. A guy has a mid of kas. Working on kas doesn't mean that when you're about to throw a punch to somebody or you're about to break a window, so then you're going to start to work on the midah of kas. That's not the right time. But a guy who knows he has a midah of kas sits down every day, a half an hour, Musa Seder, and builds a binyan in himself to deal with the midah of kas. What is kas? Why do I have it? Why is it negative kodesh baruch hu? Why is it destructive? Why is it kfira? A whole binyan, an avodah, an amelos. So when the Nisayan comes, he has a binyan against kas that can deal with it. Doesn't mean he won't have the Nisayan. Don't fool yourself. You'll have the Nisayan. The wind's going to blow, but the dam will hold. And that applies in every area. It applies in Amelos Batayra. Did you work on anything in your life, period? Did you build anything? Anything that a person builds with Amelos. A binyan, not connected to Nisayan. Your dad told him, you want to cause broke to know you're not going back to anything. Seder. So take an area that needs fixing up, and start to build something. Build something means not working on it in reaction to Ni'ila. Take now, you have 3 weeks now, work on a topic. Take an inyan and start to deal with it. Start to learn Musa every day for half an hour, 45 minutes. Start to work on yourself, not in the middle of a hurricane. Start to think about it. Is it something which is good for me? Is it something that's pastas of them? Put time into it, put effort into it. And that applies in every area of our ruchniistic existence, into learning. If a person is not going to build himself a connection to learning, a foundation of learning, a mitzias of learning, so you're never going to have it. That's what I told this person I spoke to this week. I told him, you sat and learned, but you never built any dams. You never built anything. So when the sea came, when the water came, when the hurricane came, it just washed you out completely. You sat and learned. You sat and learned at your convenience. You davened at your convenience. Midas, you never worked at, you never grappled with anything. You never built anything inside you. You never built a mitzias inside you. So there's no way in the world that anything's going to last. Oh, yeah, and then the damage is afterwards. The damage is afterwards. Like a ferloch. Every Nisayan that we lose takes us back 10 steps. Takes us back 10 steps in every year. You have to go rebuild from scratch again. And after you rebuild from scratch again, after you rebuild from scratch again. And there's never any consistency. There's never anything that lasts. The test of Yerushalayim, the Bechira of Yerushalayim, is in the step beforehand. And we all have a Yecheles to build emes abinyonim in pnimius inside a person, that when the day of Nisayan comes to hold on, and then, a person can grow, because a person's oymid in one Nisayan, and you oymid and you shake, you wave back and forth, but you hold on, and a person can grow from one thing to another, and when there's a foundation, you can build a binyan on it afterwards. But if there's never a foundation, so what happens is we build binyonim, then comes the hurricane, they collapse. We build it again, comes another hurricane, it collapses again. We build again, comes up, but so we're spending our whole lives rebuilding what we did. It's 0 + 0 = 0. It's a house of cards. You're young. We're young. I'm also. We all have the opportunity to build a real binyan, something that has lasting power, that the tshuva should be a real tshuva, that the tshuva should last past Meiriv of Yom Kippur, when you say to yourself, you wish the chazan would speed things up and get on with the show. Finish. We have enough with the stretching. Let's go. Get on with the guy. Is the guy stretching so much? Is he for me? He's saying Shema. Yom Kippur, ready enough. And the pshat is to be able to have something, a lasting relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something which has meaning, something which is lasting, something which is which when winds will come will stand. That needs serious work. A person has to be honest with himself. If you don't want to do the work, so at least know that nothing is going to last. We can scratch the surface, we can make believe, but a lasting yedeya talumas that you're not coming back to is not going to be. It's a fakeray. And there's enough time now left with the Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Don't grab 100 topics at once, I advise you, because there's not enough cement to go around for all the things. Take one topic and build something real. Take one topic and build something strong. Take one topic that the Yedea Talumas can look at you in Nila by Yom Kippur, and the Yedea Talumas will say, ah, this guy's serious this year. He took a topic, he took an inyan where he's weak, and he took the necessary steps beforehand to build something lasting and real that will last. And everybody knows their weaknesses, and everybody knows the steps that needed to be taken on the sunny days. We have an opportunity now. We have an opportunity to do real tshuva. We have an opportunity to do tshuva that's lasting. We have an opportunity to do tshuva that will take us this year and give us what to build on the next year, that we can build another floor that won't collapse again. Even if it's only one floor, and even if it's a small inyan, but it will be real, and it will be lasting, it has meaning, it will radiate everything else we do. Because it's something emes, it's something kayam, it's something yatsav.